is Reginae TL coming to you from the Lost City of Atlanta via iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, with the lovely Alyssa DiTommaso here. And we are going to talk about, Alyssa, a little bit of a serious subject here. And this subject, actually, I told my daughter, just to give some background on the situation, I told my daughter that she, hopefully, in life, as it goes on, and she's on her journey, she will stay away from all drugs. She will drink water, and she will eat
the holy water
kale salad for the rest of her existence. Kale and water. Okay. But if she chooses not to, she chooses to venture off of that path and go down the path of illicit substances, that she would, I would give her kind of like a primer, so to speak, on what she should, if she chose to do it. And I'm going to probably be prefacing this entire show. If she chose to do it, what she should do and what she should never do.
Now, would you do drugs with your daughter?
Never, because that's so
creepy.
Would
you supply it, though?
Oh, my God,
like, you know,
so
if she
creepy.
Wanted to try something, would you be like, I'd rather you do it in my presence in a safe zone when
you
I'm
know,
here?
You know, I've seen parents who have this kind of perspective, like, and they do it with drinking. Like, they say, well, I'd rather, if my kid's going to get wasted, might as well get wasted in the house when I'm there. It just seems so non-parenting like. Like, it just seems like I would be dropping the parenting ball at that point. Like, I don't want to be sharing a blunt with my daughter. Like, I don't want to be passing it to her. Even though it's a blunt, it's whatever. For one, I mean, I don't smoke anymore. I used to. And I did for years. And you know what? I was actually a late bloomer to all of that stuff. I don't really encourage anybody doing stuff like that in their formative high school years and stuff like that.
100% agree.
Because it's like you have to kind of know who you are, and you don't want to have situations where you're kind of like fighting addiction and also having to deal with like homework,
SATs,
and, right?
College prep, trying to get into Harvard.
Right. So me personally, and I'm not some holier than thou guy, believe me, but it's like I would first say you probably should not deal with any of this stuff until you're already out of school or you're at least over 18, 19. Like, you know, at least you've gotten that portion of your life done, you know, because that was kind of how
it was.
You're
finished with your free trial.
Right. Pretty much. Because I didn't do any of that stuff till I was like later, or like early 20s or 19, 20 or somewhere around there. So you know, it's funny because that's also, I'm trying to think, when I was in college, I had a crazy story with some of the harder drugs. And it's kind of it kind of leads into a lot of these subjects that we're talking about here. So I was in, there used to be this restaurant, and it used to be in the town center area. Anybody that's lived in Georgia for a while knows that's like Kennesaw area, like north Cobb County. And I worked at a restaurant there, and we used to go out and smoke between tables or on slow days and stuff like that. And I was out there with a guy one day, and he was like, we used to go out there behind the trash cans and smoke and everything. So I'm out there with him one day, and he is, I pull out my blunt, and he's pulling out like a pipe. And I thought at the time it was like a bowl, right? Have you ever seen a bowl before?
Yes.
Alyssa, I know that you lived a very saintly life. Have you seen a bowl before? You know
yes.
what a bowl looks like?
Yes.
It's
yes.
not a food bowl.
I know.
He didn't
oh
pull
God.
Out like
I'm
an
not,
old. He didn't pull a
I'm
whole
not
bowl
the,
out
I'm not Mother Teresa.
Pocket.
I'm kind of versed in some of this stuff.
So you don't eat out of it. It's in bowls
I know.
You smoke
I mean,
out
you
of.
Could eat like a little crumb from it.
Right.
Like
if you chose to eat out of that bowl, you could. If you
it's
really
almost like
tried.
A spoon. Like a little tiny ladle spoon, like to slurp your soup. Like
you could definitely, I could see that happening in it if you chose to use a bowl for that purpose. And at that time, I thought it was a bowl he was pulling out of his pocket, but it was a pipe, and it was a different type
crack,
of pipe.
Crack, crack, crack.
Right. And so at the time, I'm like, okay, I'm playing it cool. Because at this time, I'm like 19, 20.
I'm playing it cool.
Right.
Man.
I had to be like, I had to get it across that, listen, I'm cool. I'm smoking my blunt here and I'm cool. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to freak out by whatever you got going on over there. Okay. So he pulls out his pipe, he hits it and everything. I'm looking at him like, okay. Right. And I was like, hey man, so you, he was like, hey, do you want to hit this? Is what he said to me.
I'll be you.
Okay.
Nah, I'm good.
Right. It was slightly lower than that, but
I'm good.
Now that was perfect. It sounded exactly like that, actually. So, and he was like, oh, he's like, all right, cool. And he said, I was like, so what is it? Right. And he was like, it's crack.
Said what?
So now the insert awkward pause there for a second, because it was like a pause for, and then I'm looking like, okay, all right. But it's still, I'm still cool though, because I'm still cool.
I'm right. Reggie and I'm cool.
Right. I'm still cool. So I'm like, okay, cool. No, whatever. That's fine. And he was like, well, you know, it really gets a bad name and everything because, you know, everybody thinks it's crack. And he did like the air quotations, like, because it's crack and, you know, it gets like a bad name and everything. But, you know, it's really not that bad. So.
Right.
Right. And we went on with our day from that point. But it's a story that's always stuck with me about somebody casually using crack. So this is a great place for me to start my episode, because there are certain drugs out there that whether you're younger or whether you're an older person who has never had experiences in these type of substances, and you're thinking like, you know what, I want to try and see what the fuss is about. Now, the fuss about crack is mostly negative.
I feel like when you're telling that story, though, I'm picturing the man in my head, like, you know, because it's crack, like, you know, it gets the bad name because it's crack.
That's
like,
kind
really,
of like how
really
how
exaggerated
was.
Very, the word
he did, because he went, like, he's crack. Like, listen, because of like the, I guess, the stereotypes all deserve from my perspective. I've never done crack. I don't know, but I feel like they do deserve the negative stereotypes that come with it have been enough to kind of steer me away. But he was he did exaggerate it.
Like, I want to keep my teeth, basically.
Right,
like, that's
right,
how I
exactly.
would be
They're important to me. And the thing is like, he's he was actually a very normal looking guy. Like, he was very, I mean, he was very, I didn't know.
And that's the thing. I mean, I've worked in sales for years, for quite some time, actually. And people, they just do crack or cocaine and like, well, you know, you wouldn't guess it initially because they like,
so where are
they're
doing
pretty control.
Are
they're
they
pretty
doing
controlled
it, like,
about
in
it
in a bathroom or something? How do you know where?
I don't know. But I mean, there are some people, like, especially when I worked in car sales, like there'd be certain car sales people, like, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I do cocaine. Like, I just hit some cocaine before I come into work to get the energy to get through the day.
I used to see that a lot. Like, now, cocaine use, I saw a lot growing up. Like, we used to know kids. I went to high school with kids used to do it off their desk. Like, and yeah, in
that
school.
That seems so unsafe. It's like, I don't care that you're doing the drug. I mean, of course, I want you to live your best and most healthy life.
Right,
but
kale and water.
Like just the thought of somebody doing something off of a school desk where children sneeze and put their gum and cough on and write on, like
I,
gross.
Well, I feel like when you see a person who's willing to do cocaine in school, their decision making is obviously questionable.
Yes, there's something,
and I'm not
right
think
upstairs.
They are thinking about the hygiene. I'm not really sure they're
thinking at all.
Thinking about the most sterile environment in which to do it. You know what I mean? I feel like they're just doing it. So I feel like this is a good place to start with the drugs. And this is actually what you are privy to now, Alyssa, is a portion of my life that a lot of people don't get to see, because this is the exact conversation I gave my daughter. You are privy to father-daughter conversation, and this is how it went. You know what I mean? For the most part. It's extended, but this is how it went for the most part. Because I said, and I'm not sure if my daughter's mother's going to hear this, but she's not going to like it. But I have to.
It wasn't him. He didn't say it. I swear.
None of this actually happened.
It was his evil twin.
So what I told her is I started with the drugs I feel like you definitely should not do. Okay. So we're going to start there.
Okay.
All right. So let's start with the natural one, crack, because I feel like that's a natural segue from the other story. You know what I mean? That I just told. I don't feel like crack is something that you should ever do. Then we're going to go with meth. Okay.
Okay.
And then the heroin. And that's like the trifecta right there. Let's stop for a second right there.
Ka-ching.
Right. Let's stop at the trifecta of meth, heroin, and crack. So if you are, I mean, it sucks for addiction sucks in general. So basically if you or have done these drugs in the past and you happen to be a person that is addicted, you definitely should be trying to seek some type of help. And then I understand that it's an everyday battle at that point, which is why I would definitely recommend you never do these drugs. Because once you start, your body gets a physical addiction to these drugs. It's what separates them from like some of the other drugs. There's drugs that you have a mental addiction to, and there's drugs that your body gets addicted to, where now they call it like dope sickness or something. Like, I don't know. Have you ever watched the show Intervention before?
A few episodes, yes.
It's that.
It's sad. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. And you know what? On a side note, on those shows, these people are, their habits are like $200 or $300 a day. How are they getting this kind of money?
Yeah, I'm like, that's like Christmas presents. That's 1 year worth of Christmas. That's 1 or 2 years worth of Christmas presents, depending on your budget.
That amount of money that these people are spending every day.
Plus their living expenses.
How in the world are they even pulling it off? I'm not even sure. But you don't, when it comes to these type of drugs, they affect you in a certain way that if you decided to just one day say, you know what, I'm going to not do them, it's not going to be easy to just get off of.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because your body is kind of like your body is depending on these drugs now. And now you have to go through certain detox measures and a bunch of other stuff to get off of it. So those are things. Let's go over those one more time. The trifecta: crack, meth, and heroin.
Ka-ching!
Right. Those three. You should never do any of those. Now, the fourth, Alyssa, is a little bit. It's murky only because it's legal, and those are kind of like opioids. So I don't recommend anybody doing these unless they're at a hospital or something of that nature. Right. And even
and
then,
they're very, like, very well monitored by like somebody.
Right. Exactly. Because a lot of times, if you even have past addiction issues, you might just want to just forego the opioids altogether.
Tylenol, right, water kill and Tylenol for that one.
Right. Because the thing is a lot of times when you're at the doctors here, and a lot of those people know, they'll say, listen, don't put me on any morphine or anything like that. Cause they know it's like a slippery slope, you know?
Right.
So, and right now it's a big opioid crisis in the country in general. Luckily this bullet, I've dodged this altogether. Like, I'm not even sure. Even I think before the show, we had to even look up what it was.
Yeah, I had a list. I'm trying to get back to my notes to pull up the list of the opioid medications that there are, because we were like, what?
What is an opioid? Right. Like the thing is it's kind of a situation where it's so prevalent in the country, and I feel like I would have to add it to my list of things you probably should just never, ever do. Because this list is the never, ever do list. Like, I don't suggest, right, if you live 100 years old, don't do it even on your last
gonna
day.
You're going to be like 98.
Yeah, right. Don't do it.
So, you know? Actually, according to the opidemic.org website, you have oxycodone, and acetaminophen.
Is acetaminophen an opioid?
According to this, it is hydrocodone, codeine, tramadol, fentanyl.
So fentanyl is the one that's killed what you call it killed Prince, and a few other people have died overdosed on that.
And actually, this website actually kind of shows you what the pills look like, so that is opidemic.org if you guys are interested.
Right.
It gives you a pretty long list.
So hydrocodone, I would imagine it would be, because the thing that makes that a little bit different than other drugs is that those are like legal drugs, they're prescribed drugs.
Right.
And legal and prescribed drugs are always perceived to be safer because they're prescribed and they're legal. You know, yeah, no doctor's ever going to prescribe you crack. You know what I mean? Like, my friend tried to prescribe me crack at work that day, but nobody's ever going to do that. And the thing is, like,
no licensed doctor.
Right. We'll be prescribing that to you. Those pain relievers and stuff like that. You really, Alyssa, in my opinion, have to look out for that stuff like that, because those
Absolutely.
Are situations where it's such a slippery slope. Like, I feel like you get a tooth pull, maybe you want some hydrocodone. I have had hydrocodone and acetaminophen, and I think I'm saying that right. And I don't think I've ever had. So the oxys were big. They used to call that hillbilly heroin, oxycontin, not the codone, but the cotton. And that was called hillbilly heroin because a lot of people were getting very addicted to that. You know what I mean? In some of the more rural areas.
Okay, that's where the hillbilly comes. I was like, when's the hillbilly part coming in?
Right, right. Now I feel like hillbillies are getting a bad rap there.
Yeah,
in
poor
my
hillbillies.
Opinion, because I don't think they did anything to deserve that. Maybe people do oxys all over the place, but
right.
They don't call it Beverly Hills heroin. They call it hillbilly heroin.
I mean, there was the Beverly Hillbilly. So, I mean, it might be a cross-country thing.
I'd imagine it is, actually. So when you go into when you're talking about drugs in general, I definitely feel like those are the ones you should not do. Now,
big red X.
Right. The big red X, because you should never touch those. So if my daughter's listening, never touch those.
Never.
Ever in your life touch those drugs. Okay. Never touch any drugs. Drink kale and water. Let's keep that up. Okay. Now, if you decide not to drink kale and water, another drug that's kind of like in the middle for me, kind of like segueing. If I was to do these drugs and then you tell me, so if she comes to me, my daughter comes to me and she says, hey, listen, Dad, I've been doing crack, meth, and heroin. Or heroin. I would say,
pour the holy water. Go seek help.
I'm going to go take her right then. I'm going to say, okay, go wait for me in the car. And I'm taking her to get some help right at that second.
Immediate
now,
rehab.
If she goes with this next one, I'm going to be like, I don't know if you should be doing that. And that's cocaine. So cocaine is so widely used. And I've never done it myself. So I can't really speak from any point of like reference there. You know, but it's something that's so widely used that I don't know if I don't
like some people can really function on cocaine normally.
Right.
It's when they start to and it's when they kind of start to lose their sense of control or balance is when you can tell that there's something wrong with them, like that they're on something.
Is that like when they start to lose control or balance, like falling over?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's probably the physical aspect, but I'm saying like maybe like the actual feel like they're losing control of their life. Like maybe right. they start recklessly spending or missing work or selling their socks to get some cocaine kind of deal. Like that,
you got to have some really nice socks if you're going to sell them to get cocaine.
I guess, yeah, you'd be getting crack with socks if we're being
right.
honest.
I mean, because and you have to sell multiple pairs. You can get socks for Walmart like $6-7. I can get like 10, 12 pair or like.
I mean, but today in today's day and age, like all these people want to be on the name brand train with their like Nike, Gucci.
So if you're selling
Gucci.
Some Stance socks, Stance makes some very nice socks, very comfortable. I don't know sure if you.
I'm not big on the sock game like that, but I'm just saying, you know, some of these people are out here with their little name brand wasted.
So some
material.
Gucci socks, basically.
Right, like that's what I'm saying. Like some of these people are really out here on their feet, like, but they can't even like afford to like pay their car note, but they can afford to put nice socks.
You spend all the money on socks, and then you're flipping that for cocaine, so you don't have any money left over.
Yeah, I'm like.
So I feel like when you go into stuff like cocaine, that is definitely Alyssa on our. In my, for me, for Reg, it's no. It's a no. It's that's still on my red X list.
No.
No.
That's a no.
We would not be doing that. I'm not participating anyway in that party. But I don't judge as harshly, you know what I mean, as if you tell me that you were doing some of those other substances that we talked about. So if that's like in the middle category, then we have like the category of drugs that I've known about or have done at some point in a past life. Because now I'm just older, I guess. I just don't really. I mean, I guess once you've been through that phase in your life, it's a different situation. You know what I mean? So now I would say that those would be. I have them written down here. All right. So let's talk about the different types. First of all, if you're doing like shrooms or acid. So I have a lot of friends who do shrooms or acid and stuff like that. And those like LSD. Now, me personally, these were never for me. Because you are going to see some stuff. It's called tripping. And you're going to see some stuff. You know what I mean? And you can have bad trips. And you have good trips, I got to imagine. You know? But you're going to see some stuff here. And they last for hours.
Yeah, that's insane to me. I could never do something
hours,
like that.
Right?
Like hallucinating like, for it, hours?
You're going to hallucinate for like a work shift. You're going to hallucinate.
Like 8 hours. Like,
whoa. Yeah. You're going to be hallucinating for like a long time. Now, me personally, I'm not a fan of this because I like to know, have my feet solidly on the ground, know my surroundings and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're not walking on clouds and then falling through San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm not about it. It's just not what I'm for. But at the same time, if you're talking about relatively speaking, these aren't going to like murder you. You know, if you are going to do this stuff, like I would say, even with any of these subjects, with the exception of the last one. So we'll put these next three were Molly, shrooms and acid kind of in the same category, even though
I'm sweating.
Right. Wow. Goodness gracious. You went back for that one right there.
I was waiting for you to say it. I
right.
was ready.
You've been waiting this whole time. Ever since we discussed this earlier, you were like, I'm going to get it in there
evil
somehow.
Scheming.
So when you got those, when you got that, even though Molly's nothing like shrooms and acid, ex-Molly, shrooms and acid, actually four, even though they're in a category of you need to trust your surroundings. You need to trust yes. the people that you're with. You need to make sure you're staying properly hydrated. They're in that category. Like, these are probably not going to kill you. Molly's a little bit different than X in the sense that Molly is like just pure MDMA. I'm not going to say the whole scientific name, but that's like the MDMA is the active ingredient in ecstasy, which is Molly's just pure MDMA. Ecstasy, the difference with that is that it can be pill form, it can be cut and with something and you don't know what it is. Okay, so that's a big kind of like the first time I ever did it was in I was in college. I want to say that was it was a while back ago. And when I did it, it was a situation where I got it from a person who had already done it themselves. They knew what it was. They could tell you, hey, you know, you should do this much. You shouldn't do this much. They can give you do's and don'ts of the situation, which is kind of like what I needed because my first time and I was curious, but I don't want to die.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like I was very so it was a situation where I was like, OK, well, they can give you kind of do's and don'ts. And the thing is, too, with ecstasy, it's not as safe to me as Molly and maybe like shrooms and marijuana, because it's people you can die from it. You know what I mean? You can die from it. So it's a situation where I don't think you will. I've done it, you know, in my wilder days, and I never died from it because I'm still talking to you now.
Right. Unless if it was crazy. Like, yeah, some sort of
crazy.
Paranormal.
Like, I did so much that I'm still here.
Unless this is some sort of paranormal, like you're an apparition and can only talk to us through sound waves.
Through my podcast is the only way that I exist now.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a situation where I would say if you were to leave ecstasy out like in the more dangerous category because of that, then I can if you were to put it in the more dangerous category because of that, that's definitely understandable. Because the others, be it shroom or marijuana, you're not going to die from. So I could say like with the two definitively, maybe like shrooms and marijuana, you're a good chance you're not going to die from these. All right.
Good chance. It's not 100%.
There's nothing's 100%.
That is absolutely correct. I mean, you could like technically, because isn't it like there's like people who die and they like do marijuana, but it's like they had a bad heart and had a heart attack.
I don't know.
And then it's like people are associating, oh, you could die from that. I don't know if that's a real scenario, but I'm just saying like people like they do things and they don't realize they have like a heart condition. And then like these drugs may speed up their heart and then they have a heart attack and die.
If you do like some of these, and I would say that's like any illicit substance or any kind of like when they give you the difference between doing these and like legal like drugs that might just take away a headache is they come with those disclaimers. You see them on the box. Or those commercials that say, hey, we'll get rid of your headache, but it might kill you.
Right.
You know, you have a erectile dysfunction. Like you will cure your erectile dysfunction, but you might die.
Yeah. Side effects include diarrhea, vomiting, migraines, headaches, vision problems, death. Operate machineries while taking these pills.
Real quick, let's when they say, or you might become pregnant, what does that mean? Like,
artificial insemination?
They're
or?
Saying if you're pregnant or you might become pregnant. Does that mean, or if you're having sex, you shouldn't?
Okay. Yes. So what that's saying is, if you are pregnant or trying to have a baby, or you have unsafe sex, it can directly affect the fetus.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm thinking like, wait. So basically, you have to be celibate and
man. You could just have to be a man. Medicine is not
gracious.
For women.
That is just. I mean, that's crazy. But you're not, if you're doing any of these other substances, you're not going to get the run. No dealer is going to give you the rundown like that. You know what I mean? Now, you have one, if you're getting something from somebody that you trust, then they might say, hey, this is what I've done before. You can have fun, but you got to be safe. And a lot of people prioritize your safety with that. But you got to think about those situations in general. Like you said, it's just health situations. You never know, because you could have, if you have other health issues, you probably shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff anyway. You probably shouldn't be thinking about doing this stuff if you have other health issues. You need to probably take care of
those
even issues.
Thinking if you have like a heart problem and you're even thinking about it, your heart's already racing. Like, just stop.
Right. It's
just
racing with you just sitting there.
Yeah. Just stop while you're ahead. Save yourself. Drink your water and your kale.
So, yeah, right. Water and kale is never going to kill you. So the thing is when you're The last I would put would be probably the safest would be shrooms and trees, but trees probably be, or marijuana, I should say, call them trees. Marijuana would be probably the safest of all the drugs. And when I was, it's funny because Alyssa, now it's crazy because I'm a proponent of marijuana being legalized, but I don't use it anymore. Isn't that crazy? Because like when I'm pretty sure I was a proponent of it when I was using it, of course, because I was smoking all the time, but I'm still a big proponent of it. And I don't smoke. I haven't smoked in years, but knowing the difference between smoking and drinking, I'm a big proponent it's of smoking of because drinking is just too much.
Yeah. And like a lot of people don't realize, but alcohol actually is a depressant. So what that means is it slows down your reaction time. So you may think you're 100% fine. And that's what people are talking about. Like, don't drink and drive. Is like you may see the light change red, but your body reaction is slowed down. And that's one of the big things. Whereas with marijuana, it's an accelerant. So it heightens up your reaction time. So even though you may be chilled and mellowed out, munchies, whatever, you're very much aware. And like your reaction times are much more heightened because of it's a stimulant to you.
I feel like me personally, I'm not a drinker like that. Now I do like, I would say that I do drink depending on, especially if I'm like, I drink more when I'm dating than when I'm by myself. I don't really
drink of choice.
Any specialty cocktail that I can get at a restaurant, or I'm a specialty cocktail guy all day. If you go to places, one thing I'll do is I get their beverage menu and then I'll just see whatever their specialty is for that place. And with any of this stuff, I don't recommend, me personally, even when I used to smoke a lot, I never smoked and drove. I'm not a driver. I'm not a person who likes to do anything and drive. I will tell you what's crazy about this is I've lived, especially in comparison to a lot of my friends, a reckless life when it comes to the illicit substances in comparison to them. But I'm also one of the more like safer people, I would say, when it comes to, I do a lot of research. I got to make sure I'm not driving. I'm not going to work for 2 days. Like, I'm that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't recommend doing anything in driving, not even like prescription drugs. I would recommend you don't drive or operate machinery, as the commercials do say.
Do not operate machinery at this time.
And I do feel like weed specifically has gotten a bad rap versus alcohol.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I would rather somebody, a loved one, have one problem or another, if I had to choose, they say, listen, they're going to have a problem one way or the other. Which one do you choose? I would choose the weed over the alcohol personally, because alcohol, I've seen it kind of like tear people apart. Like, and when you're watching, not sure what the subject of your intervention was when you were watching them, but they have a lot of like alcoholics on there. They're like alcoholic type episodes,
right?
You know? And it's serious. It's more serious than you think. Like me, I take it for granted because I don't drink. Have you ever had any family members? Have you ever been through anything like that before where people have like alcohol issues?
No, I haven't. But I mean, it is quite serious. And I definitely understand the magnitude of the problem it can be.
So my family, I would say at least my immediate family, my mom and dad, they didn't really drink like that. My mom doesn't drink to this day, so she never did any of those kind of any of this kind of stuff. But I did have family members that had drinking issues, and you see the toll it takes on them, you know?
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure if I have any friends. Like, when you're watching the intervention episodes, you're seeing like the toll it takes on families, period. So like families in general is taking on everybody. These people are, I guess, drinking from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep. And it's something I feel like needs a certain amount of attention, because I don't really, haven't been through it. You know what I mean? I have no real experience in it myself.
Right.
Although I do love a cocktail, a specialty cocktail. Now, the thing is, we're going to segue from this into kind of like prescriptions and stuff like that. So at one point, I don't really dabble in popping like Xannies or muscle relaxers and stuff like that. But I used to take Adderalls and I think that's it. That's the only prescription drug I've ever done.
I've never done prescription drugs.
Have you ever been prescribed a drug?
No. I mean, aside from like, I mean, now that I'm older, I have birth control, but my parents put such a fear of drugs. And like going to school, I always was that kid. I feel like I was a little nerd when I was in elementary school. Like when they'd have like the alcohol and drug awareness, I was like, wow, look at that destroyed liver. Oh my gosh.
So you were fascinated by the
It scared me though. I was like, that can't be real. How could that happen? So it really like put the fear in me. And I was 21, still did not drink. I didn't really start getting into drinking until I was 22.
So when you had your first... Alyssa had her first drink at 22.
I drank at 21. Like, I was like, okay, celebratory drink. I'm 21, whatever. But I was...
How did that feel?
It was like, I was like, I was kind of like, the way everything built up to it at that point, I was like, oh my gosh, if I drink, I'm going to be crazy and slur my speech and not be able to walk. I had a drink. I was like, what's the big deal? Like, I really was like, I wasted, like, I was like, okay, no big deal, whatever. It was a little strong, so I had a little bit of that, like, burning sensation. So I was like, eh, what's the big deal? Nothing crazy happened.
So what kind of drink? What was it, a cocktail, or was it like a beer or wine?
I want to say a mango martini.
Oh, wow.
And it was very tasty. Wow. But again, it had that, for my first drink, it had a little bit of a strong alcohol burn to it. But
well, I
became more accustomed to it.
Martinis in general are very, like, martinis usually more... alcohol than some other drinks.
And actually, a martini is now one of my favorite cocktails to have.
Really? So. Is that your go-to?
Depending on the setting, yes.
Wow.
Because it's not served at every bar.
Oh, wow. Only the sophisticated bars.
Yeah, I like to go there.
Alyssa,
and like,
patronizes.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with sophistication. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I was as sophisticated as to patronize martini bars. But it wouldn't really matter. I think I would probably still try to get like a margarita or something like that. I'm not really, you know what? I can be drank under the table by most 16-year-olds.
Well, that's bad for them because that means their liver is probably destroyed.
Your average 16 to 17-year-old could probably drink me under the table at this point in my life. So I know we were talking about before with a lot of this stuff like now with marijuana being legalized in a lot of states and everything that – the allure of it would be taken off. Do you feel like you were feeling like maybe people would do it less because there's less of the bad guy, bad girl element to it, the mystique around it?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at trends in other countries that have these drugs, not just marijuana, but like cocaine, heroin, that have these things legalized, it's way less consumption rate. Like significantly lessened. So you're not seeing like addiction as much. You're not seeing death from it as much. And you know what? It partially could fall under, yeah, maybe the same amount of deaths, but the difference is it's being taxed. So there's revenue being gained off of it. And it's kind of at the end of the day, if something like cocaine were to be legalized, you may go to CVS and get like a 3-pack and it may be like a very small amount. And if you truly are an addict, instead of doing everything illegally, you just keep going to CVS. And then if you overdose, well, you know, at least you like it was revenue was gained from it. And I hate to make the human life seem so minimal, but that's really kind of what it boils down to.
Like having it minimalized down to just like being revenue, basically.
Right. And really, that's ultimately what it boils down to, because it's human. It partially, depending on the type of person you are, DNA wise, it's human nature to be like drawn to these things that are no-nos and inappropriate to society, because there's just something about it that it's, pun intended, intoxicating. And just it just seems
the allure
like
itself.
Yeah, it's like it's sexy, it's fun, you know, it's sensationalized on media, and there's just something about it that you want to partake in. But when it's legal, it's like just like when your mom says, "Don't stay out late" or "Don't go to bed too late." You're like, I'm going to stay up all night just to prove my mom wrong. And
right.
then
I'm
the next
her.
Day you're struggling. But whereas when you're an adult and you don't have a bedtime and you live on your own, I'm in bed by like 10:30 because I'm like, I got to be up early, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, there's no sexiness to staying up all night to me. There's no allure to that. I'm like, whatever. I have responsibilities I need to take care of. So
tell me something. How did you then, given that allure, how did you... Given that allure, how did you escape? How did you escape that? How was it not? Because clearly you didn't fall for that, or you didn't. it didn't seem attractive to you.
You know, partially it was the fear that was struck in me at a young age, but I did try, like, you know, I smoked marijuana pretty avidly for 3 or 4 years of my life. And there were just a couple really defining moments where, you know, again, it kind of falls down to certain things affect people differently. So, for example, caffeine, which is technically a drug, people who have ADD and ADHD, you know, when they have caffeine, they actually become tired. So I, like most people, when they smoke marijuana are totally chill and relaxed. I am the complete opposite. I am bouncing off the walls. I want to get up and dance. I want to just do all these things. But I had a moment one day, actually, I was smoking with my ex and his friend, and I completely blacked out and have blank time. And I have...
How long was that?
You know, maybe like 4 hours. But
4 hours.
That was what was scary to me. Is because
half a work day of blacking out.
In my brain, I don't know if I manifested the reality that happened or if it was like something like really did happen or if it was something I just manifested in my brain. So it's like, I'm not really sure what happened. And I'd like to
believe... You're not sure if anything happened.
Right. And it's like, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I was with like somebody who I was in a relationship with. I doubt they'd let something bad happen to me. But at the same time, I don't necessarily, I do kind of question their character and assuming something could have happened to me. So it's like, I was not in the best of places in my life at the time. I was making poor decisions, but that was one of those defining moments where I was like, whoa, I need to slow down. I need to back off because I'm starting to lose control and perspective of my life.
Well, that's a good segue kind of to where I'd like to go a couple of the other pitfalls, because I've discussed certain drugs I feel like definitely should never, ever, under any circumstances be done. Other ones where they're kind of like, well, they're not as bad. And then there's kind of like these next couple of things I want to discuss are going to kind of tie it into both of those. Like, you know, one is if you have addiction problems. If you, like me personally, I am addicted to candy. Okay? I have a bad candy addiction issue. If I eat, if you have brought today with you a small Halloween pack of gummy bears that may have had like 7 in it, and I ate those gummy bears, I would have had the large pack of those gummy bears by tonight in my house. And that's kind of how it is. I got to stay away from gummy bears, period, because of that. All right. If you know that you have addiction issues in general that you are kind of fighting, that you can't really shake, then it's probably like, you know, some people have addictive personalities where they're addicted to anything.
Right. Well, that's a give and take. Everybody has basically their addiction. Like,
what is your addiction?
Well, I mean, like, for example, your addiction could be like you're addicted to working out. It's not a bad addiction. It's a healthy addiction. So a lot of people don't realize.
Well,
like,
I saw. Have you seen Strange?
My Strange Addiction or whatever.
Yes. And this lady, it didn't seem very healthy like to her, mattress. But she was never going to die. Yeah, somebody was eating it.
No, we shouldn't make fun. That. We shouldn't make fun. No, I mean, I hope they got their health thing.
That mattress could have killed them. Not. Good. She had pieces of it in her purse.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Did you see the ranch one? There's one about ranch.
Yes,
too.
Yes. Absolutely. But I mean, you know what? To say completely that people are addiction free is a lie. You could be addicted to living in habit. Like every day, you could be a person who never deviates from your schedule, and that could be your addiction. Is you're so used to schedule, like that's your addiction. You have to consistently stick to your schedule.
So what's the difference between addiction and a habit?
Well, I mean, a habit could more so be, it doesn't have to necessarily, like addiction is you have to do it every day. If you don't, you get like the withdrawal symptoms. So I know for me, I'm a very scheduling person. And I would say that's probably one of my addictions is like, I have to, when I write my schedule, I have to stick to it to a T. And when I don't, I get very upset. Like,
so I knew I dated a girl like that. She was a Taurus. What's your sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo, I don't know if that. Oh wait, one of my best friends is Virgo. What's the birthday range for that?
That is the last week of August, so usually like August 22nd mm-hmm. through the last week of September, so September 20th.
Well, happy birthday! It falls in that range.
It passed.
You know what I mean? Well, happy is that belated? Is that what
belated.
You say?
Belated.
Yeah, happy belated. Birthday.
Happy belated birthday to me.
Yeah, I have a couple of my best friends are Virgos, and you know what's crazy is I guess if you do have certain issues like that, I don't think that you should, because these things can become very much habit forming. Okay, a good one is also like sleep medication. That's a good example of it. If you these things can become habit forming, so it's probably best you stay away from any type of medication, sleep medication, illicit substances, alcohol, tobacco. You probably should stay away from any of these because there are definitely habit forming.
That's why I was saying, like, not every addiction is necessarily bad. And I'm not trying to say, oh, if you're an addict, give yourself an excuse. Like, if you're an addict to like alcohol or drugs, don't sit here and be like, well, it's not a bad addiction. No, it's literally killing you and the people around you. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, scheduling, that's not a bad addiction. It just helps you be organized. Working out, that helps you stay healthy. Like, things like if you're addicted to shopping, you're going in debt. You need to reevaluate your life. If you're addicted to staying, you're addicted to just your own personal space and you never go outside, that hinders you and, like, you lose social skills. So it's like everybody has, an addiction in some way, shape, or form. It's just whether or not your addiction is healthy.
That makes sense. And it's actually you, without even knowing, are going into my last kind of portion of this. Right. Right. And I'm not sure how you did that psychologically. It's that women intuition thing right there. I feel like everything should be everything. And this is something that people say all the time, but it's very, very true, Alyssa. Everything needs to be done in moderation. Moderation, yes. Moderation, moderation. If you can't, I don't mind. I'll have drinks, but I drink in moderation. I don't wake up and drink. You know, I'm not the AM drinker. You know what I mean? Maybe on Sundays. You know, brunch status, but besides Sundays, I'm not a person who tries to do anything to excess. And I feel like no matter whether if you smoke trees, if you drink, or if you do any of those other recreational type of drugs, if you find yourself doing them yourself doing them and being on them more times than you're not, you have to think about the situation. You have to think about it because you are, especially if you have friends that do it too. And there is something to be said about having a lifestyle where all of your friends, if all of your friends spoke, or if all of your friends are all on drugs, like every single one of them, it can lead to a jaded perspective in life. Because a lot of times, at least a lot would say some friends that I had, when I was asking the percentage of people they felt smoke, it was wildly inflated because all their friends smoked. So it was inflated, and most people don't. Like, most people don't do drugs. Most people don't smoke. So if you look at if you were to step back and look at your peer group, and it's a good 70 to 80% of them do.
Get new friends.
You might want to, look at some of your choices. You know what I mean? Look at some of your choices, because I feel like a lot of things can be done responsibly if you're being responsible.
Yes.
You know, versus being reckless. And I don't feel like you should do anything reckless. Like, you shouldn't, if you're chain smoking, you probably shouldn't. If you're binge drinking all the time, you probably should not. You know, there's things that you should have to do. You should be able to have a fun life, but the life is the key portion of that. You want to have the life portion. You don't want to die. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So I don't know. I mean, what are the kids called that are born in like the 2000s? They're all about, oh, I don't care if I die.
YOLO.
The wigs. Once. Like, what are the, like, they're like, wig, me too. What is that? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I feel like a lot of stuff's cool to say, and then you wake up the next morning and you're like, well,
I'm glad to, like, they don't realize.
Right. What am I going to do today?
Age. They're in that age where they're like living on edge. It's like, to them, they're in that age group where it's like, to them, it's still sexy to be like, I'm living on the edge, and push me to the, like, I know the song, like, push me to the edge, all my friends are dead kind of deal. But they're like, since, like, they're in that age group where they're like, oh, I don't care if I die, I'm cool, drugs, alcohol, whatever. But, you know, it's like, when it really gets down to it, some people you can tell they really don't care to live, which is sad. But some people are like, whoa, I almost died. I need to get it together.
I feel like a lot of people, a lot of things are cooler said than done.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it's cool to say it, right? It's cool to say a lot of things. Like, if when you listen to a lot of the music, or when you look at a lot of music people listen to, or a lot of the movies and shows, like, I can watch Jurassic World and I can look at these movies and I look at that and say, man, that's cool. But do I really want to pet a dinosaur?
No.
No, I do not. Do I really want to be chased by dinosaurs?
Yeah, no. Like the herbivores, maybe if I was given the opportunity to be around an herbivore dinosaur, maybe. But no. Overall, no.
It looks better than it would actually me being in it. I don't mind watching you pet the dinosaur. You know what I mean? And I don't mind listening to you do all the drugs and listening to you have a crazy life.
Yeah.
But then after I'm done living vicariously through you, I'm about to go back to my actual life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, I only know, and I fall into this category, like a handful of people that actually have lived a life that kind of is portrayed in a movie scene. So for like example, I know there have been a few times where I've gone out like clubbing, and it's like totally happenstance. I met like somebody who's like a basketball player and they're like, hey, do you want to come to this after party? That never happens in reality. It was just happenstance. I was in the right place at the right time and he spilled his drink on me and then offered to buy me a new drink and invited me to an after party. And I was like,
did he buy you a new outfit? Because he spilled the drink on your outfit.
No, I mean,
Did you even ask?
No.
You're a stand-up person, Alyssa.
I didn't even ask for a drink. I didn't even ask for him to buy me a new drink. He was like, let me buy you a new drink. I was like, it's okay. It's fine. He's like, I insist. And I was like, well, okay.
So was it your drink that got wasted?
My drink was the one that got spilled. Both his and my drink were spilled on me.
Two drinks.
But it was like, I was wearing like jeans, so I was not worried about it, and a black shirt. So I was like, whatever.
Okay, so what if he had not offered? You had to go buy yourself another drink.
I mean,
were you really going to do that?
I would have been upset because I had just gotten the drink, but I was like, you know what? It's Buckhead. It happens. You know what? That's the name of the game when you're out. But only a few times something like that has happened to me, and people are like, "Wow, like you really like live your life." I would never do something like that. I'm like,
what did you do?
Well, I mean, I just like I was like,
just go to the after party.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't know him, but I was like, you know, it's a public place. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen?
So you went to so you did not like you're going to an after house party.
Yeah, I was like, where is it located? And I was like, is it like at a house? Because if it was at a house, I'd have been like, no, I'm not going. Sorry, goodbye. Like, thanks for the drink. I gotta go.
So, are there any? Because this is completely off subject. Because this we were wrapping up this episode anyway, so we can kind of go off subject a little bit here. Is there anybody? Who do you have like a star, a favorite athlete or anybody like that where they were like, listen, this is a house party and then you would go to it?
Childish Gambino, if you're out there listening.
Goodness. So Donald Glover, I guess, huh?
Childish Gambino.
So that would be the house party you would go to.
Yes, I would go anywhere with him, honestly. And not
goodness
like,
gracious.
I feel like people are fans of him because he has some trending stuff right now. But I've always been a fan of him because he's just so talented. He's a comedian. He's an actor. He produces. He's obviously a rapper. Like, he just is everything. He's a true Renaissance man in today's day and age.
Do you have, like, a poster?
No, I don't. I haven't had a poster since I was maybe, like, 13 years old.
Well, let's keep that up. Let's just go ahead and stay honest. You're on the right path in your adulting journey.
Thank you.
You can just keep that up. So, unfortunately, for me...
You do have a poster.
I have posters. You know what I mean? I have posters of all types of their superheroes and stuff in here, you know? And I have more. It gets like, it's a deeper poster situation that's taking place back in the back. You know what I mean? But they're none of like pinup. They're not like women or anything like that. They're of like the Millennium Falcon and stuff. It's really depressing, actually, when you really think
crickets,
about it.
Crickets.
But I will say that, so then you would with Childish Gambino, that was like the exact same situation. You say, yo, let's go to this house party. You might bet. Now, me, I'm a guy.
Well,
so unfortunately, I would have set house parties from most women, unfortunately. You know what I mean? That's how we roll.
Also, I don't know if it's my mentality, but even in that situation, I would still be a little wary. I'm always thinking of, okay, I'm somewhere I've never been before. What do I have to do in case of an emergency happens? Who do I have to stab to leave? Like...
Wow. Prepared.
I'm thinking like 50 steps in advance. I'm like, okay, this could be a dangerous situation. What is a good weapon I'd have to grab in case of an emergency? Or do my keys do the trick? So I'm always thinking like that.
I mean, shouldn't women be thinking like that in general?
I would hope so. I mean, some women are just like, it is what it is. Like, whatever happens, happens. And like, well, that's how, unfortunately, you might end up with something in your drink that you may not want to have in your drink.
Right. You know, there's a new thing now that they have out that test drinks. I didn't look at it.
Yeah,
see,
like the nail
like
polish. You can like,
type situation.
Yeah, you can put like your finger. Yeah, if you have the right nail polish, it'll change the color. Or
really? So let's
your
put
cup
that out
should,
there.
Some of them actually have created like cups where if there's something in there, it'll change a different color. So it's like different things. So. But I don't know, like, where you find some of these products. I wish, like, they were more open to the public.
Well, I feel like the nail polish one is a very good idea because a lot of it's got a good application. Like, a lot of women use nail polish already. Like, what I was looking at before or the article I read, I'm not sure if it was, like, a pill or it was, like, drops, something like that. But it'd be so – I feel like that's a little bit more awkward for the interaction. If I get a drink for like a significant other or somebody I'm trying to get with, it would be awkward. She pulls out this kit and is like testing her drink.
Excuse
in front
me,
of
me. Let me put my science goggles on and my lab like my lab jacket and like test this on this little
right,
strip of
paper
right here.
To make sure
right
that you're
here.
Just not trying to slip me a roofie or something.
Let me put this stir in here that has the different strips on it to tell me if you've roofied me.
Right.
Hang on 1 second. Like, let me check.
So I think that would be a bit awkward for the interaction, for the whole, like, just for your general situation. You know what I mean? But I do feel like there should be some products out there that can make it safer for people to be able to take a drink from a stranger. Because unfortunately, if my daughter is ever listening to this show, never take drinks from strangers.
Never. I always bring my
own
drinks.
Take your own drinks.
With me.
You know what I mean? Or if you're at the bar and you're getting drinks. And
never leave it
I would
behind.
Say don't leave it, right.
And
if
you do
what?
Get a
it's
new
horrible.
One.
It's horrible, like, though. That's isn't that crazy? It's crazy that people can't leave their drinks anywhere. Can you imagine?
Yeah, and it's almost mind-blowing to me. I'll see people leave their drink in one spot, and they'll leave it and come back and drink. And I'm like, are you insane? Like,
they're like,
oh,
I paid
my
for
God.
That drink. I'm sorry.
But I'm like, if you think about it, the repercussions that could be involved with it, it's like, is it really worth it to like stay sipping on a possibly $10 poison drink when you could just get
a $10 poison drink?
You could just get another $10 drink. Like, and you know what? Maybe don't drink for the rest of the night after that or something. I don't know. But like, I mean, and I'm also really aware of things like that. If I'm going to somebody's house and I've never been there before, or I'm going over to a guy's house and I've never been there before. Or even on a date, if they order me something like a drink beforehand, I never drink it.
Really?
I
never. So if you go to
even,
drink, like, hey,
even
I
if
order
I'm
your
thirsty,
margarita.
Yeah, even if I'm thirsty, I'll order a different drink, even if it's like.
So how do you get around that? Like, what if the drink's already at the table?
Yeah, so like.
You start have two drinks sitting there?
That's happened to me before where I went on a date with a guy and he ordered me a water before I got there. He was like, I got you a water. I was like, thanks. And so then like I. Spilt it. I spilled it on purpose, accidentally
on purpose.
But I had some alcohol with me, so I was like, okay, it's a good like excuse. I'll drink like a little bit of my alcohol and then like pretend to knock it over. And then I ordered a new water anyways. I know that's like probably overthinking, but it's like I didn't know this guy. I didn't know what his motives were.
So basically that means I should never pre-order a drink or be looked at as being like a creeper.
I mean, I didn't know the guy. So if you don't know the person, why would you do that? And it's sad that we live in a world where we have to question that.
You know what I would
that.
Think, though? Listen, like I definitely get it. I think the water is a little bit more innocent than, yeah, I ordered you this margarita or, you know what I mean? I feel like, I guess,
I mean,
two
those,
waters could be
once
like, once
something's
you know, randomly,
in a drink, it's colorless, it's odorless, it's tasteless. You don't know if it's in your water.
That's true.
You have to take all precautions.
I do. I feel that. I feel that aspect. And I guess it's another reason. It's a great reason to have a female voice on this show, because that's the kind of stuff that I don't want to think about that stuff. I'm just going to drink the water. Then I can be in somebody's basement.
Right. And you could be like chained to the wall and they could be like selling you for sex, which is terrible. And I mean, right. Atlanta is the number one hub for sex trafficking. So ladies and men, be careful out there.
Really?
It is. And it's because we have the largest airport in the world. Actually, it's easy to smuggle people. And our interstates are actually, because of our interstate system, all of our interstates run in so many separate directions. It's hard to track people once they've been taken.
Wow. Goodness. More stats right there, Alyssa. Not just a pretty face, dropping these stats on you.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
Thanks.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know that. I mean, the airport situation, makes a lot of sense due to that it is the largest airport. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't know about the interstates. I'm still trying to wait for them to fix 10th Street and see what see why that stuff's right. gonna be potholes in it. Like I didn't right. know people were being smuggled out here and
it and you know what, you don't realize it, especially if this is your home. You don't see that stuff, but it is the number one hub in the United States for sex trafficking.
Wow. Well, that means don't drink those waters, ladies.
That's what
I took away from that whole.
Bring your own water. And also, I mean, I could go on. We could do a whole show on that because
on bring your own water.
No, on sex trafficking, because I mean, there's so many tips that people or like things, red flags to look out for that people miss. And they so easily can be kidnapped and taken and God knows where they go from there.
Wow. So, like, is that something that you're passionate about or something that you research?
No, it's absolutely.
Because how would you have all that knowledge about that?
You know, it actually started when I was watching Law & Order SVU, five or six years ago.
Real quick, just take 30 seconds and appreciate the greatness that is Law & Order.
Yes, I'm so
Law
glad we're
Order
on this.
Is a da, fabulous, da, 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 man, da, da, it is like, da, I, da, that is a fabulous, da, fabulous da, show. Da, da, so, da, you know, it's been coming out for so long.
Yes.
Like, it's been coming on for a while. And then they, I think Dick Wolf did those shows. And, you know, he does those Chicago shows, too. Do you know that?
Yeah, the Chicago PD.
Do you watch any of those?
I don't like the one girl who's in it for the Chicago PD. Sophia.
I don't know her. I don't watch those shows.
I can't get into them. And I don't really like her voice because she always sounds like she has laryngitis. Which is
on the Chicago PD show.
Yeah, because she always sounds like this and that her voice is so scratchy. And I'm like, do you have laryngitis or not?
Wow. Goodness gracious. Maybe you should write and ask.
I should.
Maybe because I'm pretty sure you're not the only person wondering. That's something that I'm pretty sure a lot of people want to know. But so you're watching Law & Order SVU and it got you interested in just like an episode?
Sex crimes in general. And then I had a research project one day and I was like, kind of had recently heard about like sex trafficking. I was like, I want to look more into this. And, you know, one thing led to another and I realized it was such a huge problem. And it's starting to get more light now in recent years, but it's such an unspoken crime. Like it goes so unspoken. And especially when people are arrested and charged, they're not getting nearly enough prison time as somebody who's like an animal smuggler or something like that. So it's like,
really?
You can
smuggle ivory and not get as much time as smuggling a person.
And it's difficult because it's like the way laws are written, it could easily be kind of maneuvered around. So it's really a sad, sad crime and difficult situation to be in.
Well, I think that we will have to do a show on that one day just so you can get all that knowledge out, let everybody know what's really going on out here. Because clearly I'm oblivious. I'm waiting for those potholes to be fixed and people are being smuggled.
Under the potholes.
That's why those potholes are there. Well, I appreciate you, everybody taking time out to listen to this show. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. I will see you next time.